Welcome to Coach House Talks.
As I was thinking about this coming year, I undoubtedly have my thoughts tuned into my changes that will happen that I know about in my life. Mel is looking to retire this year. I'm going to be 60 tomorrow. They're markers that we see in our lives, and they're ahead of us, and they will happen, and they will bring change, and we're not quite sure how that change will affect us and what that means to us. Having the desire to want better things in life is not in itself a bad position to have, to state, or even desire. But I wonder how much of our thoughts as a church and as Christians is to how much we grow and mature spiritually as individuals this year. I wonder how much of our thought is on that, whether it's about our circumstances we'd like to change, or whether it's actually about how we change and how we become more Christ-like in our actions and our thoughts and in our heart. And whether we mature spiritually as individuals and as a church. So I don't believe that the Christian life is ever exhausted. I'm 60 now, and I've been a Christian for a long time, but I'm scratching the surface. And I'm sure there are people who are older than me who will say the same sentiment. We don't know it all. We're still scratching. We're still finding new things about God. He still just blows our minds with stuff. We never get to the bottom of God's word either. But I think sometimes it's a bit of a lost art, even reading it. Yeah? How much do we spend in this that tells us all about how God's relationship with us works? How much time do we actually spend in it? Because we never get to a point where we've got all the answers. It's like mining a mine that never has an ending. It just keeps going and it keeps giving. God's word and God himself, they are immeasurably beyond our comprehension. We will not come into the fullness of this understanding until we finally come into our promised inheritance. When we finally walk over the threshold into the promises of God and we are in his presence, then perhaps we will see the fullness of everything that's written down to us, everything that we've tried and strived to attain and hold on to. And I think that can be a little intimidating for us. Perhaps even enough to make us give up on going deeper into our relationship and our study of God and what he means to us and what our relationship looks like and feels like. Now, we know that we've come into a relationship with Jesus. Those of us that have surrendered our lives, asked Jesus to come in, we know that we've come into a relationship with him. We can have confidence that our sins are forgiven and that grace has been showered upon us that we don't deserve. We talk about it all the time. And that's because we know what we do all the time. So we know that we're undeserving of the grace that God showers on us. So surely this is enough. Surely just having that is enough for us. Maybe we're content to just have that knowledge. And with all everything that's going on around us, it can be all too easy to focus on these things that will affect our time now and the things that would make our lives a little bit easier. So we like to grasp hold of the things that make us feel good and the instant. They're kind of an instant fix. And I think we do that in life as well. That's why McDonald's is so many McDonald's chains all the way down the A6 and things. They're feeding into this instant impact. You know, we're open 24 hours for your instant impact and you can go and have your burger and it instantly fills you with something that half an hour later makes you want another one. Yeah? So they conveniently put another one 2 miles down the road and so on and so forth. It's part of our nature. After all, you know, it's easy to stand still. We look around at our church, we look around at the people around us, and we go, you know what? We are so blessed, aren't we? Do you feel blessed? Yeah, we're blessed. And there's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes we can look around and go, hey, we've made it. We're in the place that we're supposed to be. This is what God intended. I told you right at the start that God made a promise to me when I was 19 and I didn't step into it until I was 55, and I'm still working through it now. Luke 11:28. Jesus replies, "But even more blessed are all of those who hear the word of God and put it into practice." Okay? Even more blessed are those that hear the word of God and put it into practice. Okay, so now we're going to get to our word intentional. This year, I want to urge us, encourage us, to set our hearts on going deeper with God. Not because he wants us to be scholarly, not because he wants us to have head knowledge about what Scripture says, and hey, we can play top trumps with each other and be able to beat each other because I know more verses than you do. No, it's not about that. It's not about knowledge in our heads, but because there's a very good reason why God wants us to go deeper together. I want this church to have a significant impact in our community, which is those around us, in our own homes, which is in your homes, in your families, and I want it to have a significant impact in our neighborhood where God has placed us. The reason we want to go deeper, the reason we want to strive to be more Christ-like, is because it impacts people around us. And that's primarily what I want us to do. And to do that, we have to be intentional about what we're going to do. We can't just go, "Oh, the words sound nice, and I'll just sit here and wait for God to do it." We need to be intentional about our actions. So we need to understand what this means. I want us to have the fullness and the power that is available to us through Jesus, that the Scriptures talk about, but we scratch the surface of all the time. And we also need to understand what it means in our fast-changing culture to be church. What does being church actually mean? That was a question that was raised at Bassenfeld. Anne's raised that question just recently. What does it actually mean to be church? What does this word mean? Now, this isn't something that's unique to us today. You won't be surprised to know, since the institution of church in the first century, the same questions have been asked. The same questions we still ask today. And the same problems encountered. The same problems we encounter today. That's why we have scriptures for us to read. That's why we have the benefit of what has gone before us. That's why we've got a necessity to learn from the past. You can't just reach a point in time and go, "You know what, past doesn't matter. Let's just click over and do new things." We have to learn and understand what the past teaches us. There's a necessity to learn from the past, and that is what makes our worship all the more sweeter when we worship together. We know what we've been rescued from. We can look back in our lives and know that God has held us. Matt stood up here and told you how God has held him, and he gives thanks for that. And time after time after time, it's those things that we remember where God has held us that give us the faith to know that he will hold us in what we're going through. So, the Apostle Paul was uniquely qualified to speak into this first century time and place, and it's just as relevant today as it was for them then. So I'd like us to look at how Paul addresses this new understanding of church and how he encourages the new believers in Jesus to see the freedom that they've been released into. And as we do so, I pray that we will also be encouraged to face up to the challenge of being church today and become more intentional about how we live that out together. That's my goals for this year. I would like us to do that by beginning this year by looking at Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And perhaps be encouraged to wrestle with the impact that this might have on our lives today. So with this in mind, it will be useful and beneficial for you all to read the entire epistle in one sitting. Now, I could just, I was toying with the idea. Do I start at verse 1 and just read it? Not even preach. Just read it. And there might have been some benefit in that, actually. But I would encourage you, be intentional. Kind of go, right, okay, I've been challenged with something. I'm going to do it. Let's have the intent to go and do this. Let's all go and read Ephesians in one go and let God speak to us. See, we're very used to reading small portions of Scripture. Sometimes, whether it's a reading plan or whatever, you'll read a chapter, that's enough, I've done my Bible today, put it away, maybe don't even pick it up till the next day and read another chapter. We're often very good at reciting verses and a kind of holy top 10 of go-to encouragements that we might hold and store or that we can go to all the time. But Paul's letters capture an entire scope of God's plan for us, or mysteries, as he refers to them. And so we should be mindful that reading in its entirety gives perspective and context, which stops us reappropriating Scripture and bending it to our own purposes. So I could be in danger of doing what I did at the beginning, which is to take Ephesians 6 and talk about the armour of God, and applying that into something that it doesn't actually mean. Yeah, because it sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds like something we can take and apply it. But what did it mean to the people who were hearing it? And therefore, what does it mean to us today? And what, therefore, can it not mean? So the letter might be helpfully divided into 6 chapters. So we look at Ephesians and we'll go to Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. And we've all got our favourite scriptures within those chapters. But Paul didn't write like that. Paul didn't write 6 chapters. It wasn't a Netflix thriller that he kind of wrote one chapter to them, left them at a cliffhanger, and then the next week he kind of sent the next chapter to them, and then the next week. This was one continual letter. Okay? So I want to encourage you to binge watch Epistle of Ephesians. Okay? If something grips you, you just want to read, and I want to watch the next episode. I don't want to wait a week for it. I'll wait till it's released on Netflix and I can watch it one after another. Why am I talking like this? Because I've just done it. Gripped me and I wanted to watch to the end, so it's like, oh, we're going to keep going. This letter was meant to be taken as one. It's a flowing document. Everything flows into something else. Notice it when you read it. The number of conjunctions there are, they're words that join everything together. They join sentences together, so you don't miss that they are connected to what's gone before. Words like therefore. So a lot of the chapters start with therefore. Well, you can't just read that in isolation then, because it must be connected to what's gone on before it. When I think of this, says Paul. And further, says Paul. And the smallest, probably, of the conjunctions. So, there's something that follows what has just happened. They all serve to show us that this is one constructed argument from beginning to end. So I'd also ask, as you're going to read it as individuals, that in your home groups, your discussions over the next period of time also be fully rooted in this letter. Yes, by all means, refer to other scriptures. I'm not saying that the whole of the Bible is off limits. But let the substance of our attention be on understanding the core message that Paul is trying to get across, because it's important. Let's immerse ourselves in God's wonderful plan and the purpose for you and me, the church. So I'm going to start with a brief encouragement in the middle of the letter, but only in order to set our direction and focus. Okay, so we can just get an angle of what we're going to look at. Now, different versions will render the words slightly differently. So, here's a good tip. Don't stick to your normal versions. If you're going to read something, read a couple of versions side by side and just see what those versions say and whether they differ from what you normally know. So let's just have a look at Ephesians 3. And I'm going to start at verse 14. We're going to go from 14 to 21. Did you get the slides, Jamie? Yeah. So let's put this first one up. There we go. Okay, so that is from the ESV. But I'm going to read from the NLT, so you should be able to see the slight changes, but did they say the same thing, or did they bring a difference to how we might render it? So Ephesians 3:14 says this, "When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth." So you notice that, when I think of all of this. All of what? Okay? This is connected to what's gone on before. When I think of all of this, Paul says, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, that he will empower you with the inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him, that is through faith, and your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. You notice that was slightly, so I added a little bit in brackets there, that is through faith. So the NLT just says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And I would argue it says the same thing, but perhaps a different rendition just brings it home a little bit more strongly. Does that make sense? You see, what this is saying is that we are limited, but God isn't. He is unlimited in his resources. His plan is the one that demands our attention. And we will see this plan unfold as we read the letter. But for now, I want us to see where the focus should be. That means the means by which the plan is put into action. It's by God's power through the Holy Spirit that we receive the strength and the fortitude to keep going and maintain Christ-like values. The more we do so, the more the effect of this dominates our nature and the more we understand God's love. This is the amazing truth. The more we empty ourselves, the more God pours in. And the supply that he pours in is unlimited. In other words, it doesn't end. You cannot exhaust what God wants to pour into your life. And that's whether you've just started on the journey or whether you're on the end of your journey. God still wants to pour in unlimited resources into your life. Okay, let's carry on then from verse 18. And may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should. Okay, so there's the intentional bit. You should know this. Yeah, because that's what Paul's saying to the Ephesians. You should know this. All of God's people should know this. That you'll have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. You see, whatever we've experienced so far of God's love, there's more. It doesn't stop. May you experience or know the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all of the fullness of life and power that comes from God. In other words, be filled with everything that God is. Total surrender of everything we are to everything God is. And let him change the way we think and the way that we act. So whilst we can never fully grasp the magnitude of God's love, our experience of it leads to a fullness and richness that is completed, that completes us. We're complete in Jesus. And Scripture tells us that that's the moment that we come to him for salvation. You've been made complete. You've been made into the likeness of Jesus day by day. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I don't want us to be satisfied with just a knowledge of God's love. I want us to be fully immersed in the experience of Christ's love. Now, you know, I talked before about ministering to somebody, and one of the breakthroughs that came through that was they suddenly realized that after all of the years of being a Christian, and it's many years, all the years of being a Christian, they struggled with this one thing. They understood the love of God on paper, but had never experienced it. And that's very different. Very, very different. Experiencing something is so much better than just reading it on a piece of paper, and maybe even understanding it in our heads, but letting our hearts dictate how that demonstrates life through us. We might feel inadequate. We might feel bewildered. We might even feel overwhelmed by all of this. But Paul wants us to understand where all of this comes from and to whom it points. Because it's not about us, and it never will be about us. Okay? All of this is for a purpose and a reason. And it isn't us. Spoiler alert. Okay. Next one. So we'll carry on from verse 20. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Now that isn't carte blanche to go out and say, I want a Ferrari and think God might give me a Lamborghini. That's kind of not what we're talking about here, yeah? But he is able to accomplish within us everything he sets out to do for us that's in line with his will. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, as we look at this letter to the Ephesian church together, I want to remind you that the Ephesian church, Paul's journeys in Acts refer to the church at Ephesus. Okay, so there are some cross-referencing to do. Where else do we know about the church of Ephesus?
1 Timothy.
1 Timothy, why do we know that?
It's written there because Paul left Timothy there.
So Timothy was in charge of the church in Ephesus for a while. Well done, thank you. And where else do we know about it?
Revelation.
It's one of the churches that's referred to in Revelation. So there's something really important about what's going on at Ephesus, and I think we want to collect all of that together. So as we look at this letter, I want us to see the impact that living as saved people must have. Okay, must have. Not might have, must have on our families, our work situations, and our communities that we engage with. If we are fully taking Jesus into these areas, then we must expect change and something to happen. So armed with this knowledge and empowered by the Holy Spirit, I want us to set our focus and our attention on our transformed nature and be intentional about making a difference this year. Okay? Let's be fully committed to letting Christ's love work through us, changing us to the benefit of everybody around us. And let us start to see the potential in this church be fully realized as we strive to serve and honor God. You see, we have in this church, and have always had, a foundation of love. Lots of people come through the doors. Lots of people say, and you know, and some people come through the doors and we never see them again, but they'll still say, such a loving place. We felt loved. We feel tangible. We feel the love that is in this place. Well done. That's great. And I'm not being facetious there. It is great that people come in and they feel the love that is here. They always have. It's not something new. Something that this church has always been known from. But it's time to build on it and move on. Okay? It's time to build it. It's no good just clapping ourselves on the back and going, wow, we're so good at love. Everyone knows it. People come. I'm reminded that quite a lot of the churches in Revelation get patted on the back but then get given a substantial rebuke for staying there and not moving on. So it's time to build on it and it's time to move on. And I want us to be intentional about how we do that. So let's intend to be intentional about our Christian lives and let us strive for personal growth together, which means the church gets stronger, And it signals to the powers and authorities of this world that God still holds the power and everything's still going to plan. Because that is what church is all about. It's about showing the principalities and powers that God is still in control. And your lives are testimony and testament to God's power and keeping power. But let's not just rest there. Let's move on. Let's intend to move on.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and at www.coachhousechurch.org.